Adventures in Technology.
Well, you just told me I was cute. I was distracted.
I'm teasing.
Hi, I'm Ruby.
And I'm Cody.
And this is the swirl. The swirl? It's the swirl.
That was actually a good open. You just turned it into a question. All right.
Well, I've been thinking a lot about, you know, like how people talk. You know, like, I've been on a lot of conference calls lately, and I know there's articles and thought pieces on Vocal Fry, and I just listened to a great podcast. I know I'm changing the subject, but I just listened to a podcast, and one of the guests was a younger woman, a lawyer, like a sexual harassment lawyer for the ACLU, and every time she said a declarative statement, she said it like a question. Like, people are being sexually harassed? And I want to be like... Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
Is this the swirl? I don't know. Good morning, Cody. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm recovering from a bout of the CrossFit.
You got that CrossFit? You caught the CrossFit?
I think there are some people who belong to the cult that were trying to get me to join... And I don't know if that will ever be a part of my lifestyle. But before we get to that, I just sent you a video.
Oh, I know.
Now, technology can be a little crazy. And I sent you a link for this app. Tech is insane. And the things that people come up with to try to move us ahead. Yeah. There's always somebody that has to be like a visionary. So... For whatever reason, like, people think your fridge needs to be Wi-Fi enabled nowadays.
Yes.
But, but
there's like... Alexa,
which I was at a party recently, and I have a friend whose name is very close to Alexa. So Alexa just kept piping up and be like, yes. And I was like, I'm not talking to you. So for instance, there's this app that lets you log into your phone safely using a photo of your penis.
What? But
yeah.
I don't know if my phone can handle the photo of my penis.
It's true. and so I sent you this link for this app called Photable, which is essentially like a Photoshop on steroids. So the example that I sent Ruby listeners is there's this man who has a normal body and he is topless and he picks his abs. Right? Like, he picked his 4-pack or a 6-pack.
Yeah.
They blended those on top of his regular stomach, and then he photoshopped away the edges, and then added a filter, and then suddenly the photo is him with 6-pack abs.
Well, you know you gotta be careful about those edges.
No, true. Today and every day. But it's such a lie, and it's so deceptive and dishonest, and it also perpetuates this idea that everybody's walking around here super fit. Because let me tell you something, that's cute. That's cute till you have to take your clothes off.
Yeah, but can I ask you a question? Like, this is like legit question that occurs to me here. How is this any different than Facetune or that Snapchat filter that makes you look tanner and makes your nose look slimmer and makes your face look skinnier? How is that different?
It is not. And in fact, I was going to say it's female beauty on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, like on any given day, you know, a woman, it's like, that's not your real hair color. That's not how dramatic your eyes are.
Right.
but at the same time, I think, like, for women, there's this understanding that there's a sort of kabuki thing going on.
Okay, so let's just say I made some assumptions about this video.
Okay.
I made the assumption that this is probably something that gay men are using for Grindr.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So I did not think about straight men trying to attract women with these photos. I thought about gay men trying to attract other gay men or other partners.
Whatever the gay men do, the straight men will have to follow.
Well, right. But like my initial thing wasn't like, okay,
fucking
so,
romp hims out.
Right. So, but this is all just to say that I do think that the beauty standards in the gay male community they rival the way that feminine beauty is the expect, don't you think?
It's on steroids, in fact.
Right. Like, I think it's worse. And there was actually, like, a huge blowback a couple years ago. I don't remember the article or the venue. About, there were straight women who were blaming gay men for beauty standards and saying that gay men were, like, gay men in New York and LA were treating women like Barbie dolls and we're almost part of the patriarchy's, like, the problem with the beauty standard because there's, like, this whole, like, push for thinner and more beautiful and more makeup and the fashion. And so that's all just to say that I do, like, I'm not a gay man.
That is, thank you for confirming.
Yes, yes. I do know a lot about the community. I'm an ally, but I do think that there is an issue within the gay community about beauty standards that are, like, unattainable because I seriously know some of my friends, you work out a lot. And I have friends who live in DC who also, like, they look like Ken dolls. And I see these pictures of my friends in Fire Island or going away to beaches in Delaware over the summer. Mm-hmm. And all of them are buff as hell. They don't have any hair on their bodies. And I, like, I don't know, like, I just think, God bless them. It's amazing that you all look so great. But I cannot even imagine existing in a community where the standard is that you all have to look a certain way and fit into a certain body type and have a certain kind of lifestyle. It's off-putting because I don't feel like fat me would fit in with some of those
things. Oh, I completely relate to that. And in fact, I went to, like I mentioned before, I went to CrossFit. A few days ago.
Which I want to know more about later, but, like, oh my god.
Ugh.
You don't even know how much I was picturing you jumping up and down off of boxes, being like, when I'm done with this, I want some motherfucking cake. Get that booty, Cody.
That's actually not far from how it went down. So I was invited to CrossFit by some gay friends, and I have been, you know, putting this off for many, many years. I just don't see the purpose. Now, I lost all my weight from cardio. You're walking, running, cycling, spinning. But I am kind of a wimp when it comes to lifting weights. And it's not that I can't. It's just that, like, it just bores me.
Right.
And I think, like, in gyms, it's very intimidating because you have a bunch of, like, meathead guys, like, standing around the barbells.
Even in D.C.?
Especially in D.C.
Well, yeah, no. I know what you're talking about. But, like, isn't there, like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like in my assumption is that in DC and New York, there's, like, safe gyms.
No. Okay. No, definitely not. No.
Interesting.
I think you were just mentioning, you know, if you don't fit into that mold, I think it's a very difficult barrier to entry.
Okay. No, yeah. I feel you.
So I never kind of picked up on it. So I was invited to this CrossFit event and first off, it was, like, on a Friday and after work on Friday, I don't want to do anything but, like, go home and stare at the wall after a full week of activity and talking. So
Hard pass on the CrossFit out on a Friday night.
So I head to the event, and the only thing that was keeping me there was the fact that there was going to be a beer and barbecue afterwards. So I was like, well, if I have to do this, at least, like, there's burgers in it for me, burgers and beer for me afterwards. Everything you had to do at this event was in tandem. So let's say if we had to do 30 sit-ups with that. So you split that between two people. 30 pull-ups
Split
between two
people. So, like, you just hope that you're with somebody who can do, like, 29.
Right. But you just mentioned, if somebody couldn't fulfill that set, you had to pick up their slack.
What?
So we had to do five rounds of these things.
Honey, this is why I don't do group projects. I always end up doing all the work.
Oh my gosh. And this was after the start was a quarter mile run, if I remember correctly. And then we came in and we did rowing. And then we had to start with the push-ups and the sit-ups and these weighted squats where this, like, 10-pound ball you throw in the air as you squat it. Again, every part of my body today is sore.
Why? Why are you doing this? Why? Why do people do this?
I don't know why people do this. And
amazing, but why?
Absolutely. And my body is feeling it. But the thing that hit me the entire time was, Lord, just don't let me quit in front of these people. Like, I don't quit anything. Like, right. I'm really proud to say that. But there was a moment when I was trying to get my asshole to come back into my body where I was thinking... where I was thinking, if I could just sneak out of this warehouse, like if they're, cause they had all those like open warehouse doors, like if I could just, like very subtly sneak out,
dragging
I would do
your
it.
Asshole behind you.
And there, yes, yes, and it would, it was dragging at that point.
And it really there gives was a whole new meaning to my ass is dragging.
Yeah. And there was like a countdown clock that like told you how much like in the session was left. And that number just wasn't moving. And I was just like, is time standing still? So afterwards, and you'll appreciate this, I had a burger, I had tortilla chips and guacamole, and I had two Krispy Kreme donuts. Because
you earned that.
I earned it. And it, yeah. And I had it with and I had it without guilt. But mm-hmm. at the same time, you had like I was starving. I didn't know what to do with myself afterwards. I thought that I was gonna vomit. And I was just like, please don't let me vomit. And then at one point, like my legs were shaking. Like, you know, like when you feel like nervous
yeah,
inside.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
when you kind of feel empty in your center and you're like, am I cold? am I cold?
Yeah, yeah, no. Like, well, that's, have you ever seen at the end of marathons? At the end of yeah. the Boston Marathon, they give you those like shiny, like crazy, like to keep your body yeah. heated. Cause your body is like freaking the fuck out. Like,
yeah.
Why? Your body's like, why?
That's exactly what happened to me. So, I say all this to say, I said on Facebook, you know, I'd rather be fat and happy. and when I look at, cause truly, you would do that and be fit and miserable. Like, there's
oh,
no
God.
Way around it.
Right, but there's
and they claim, and everybody there is just like a person who gets married and has kids, and they try to convince you that you too need to be a parent. It's like they were all trying to look. It gets easier. Like, you'll love
yeah.
it. You'll, it'll take, somebody said to me, it'll take a year and a half, but after that, you'll love it. And I was like, there's nothing I'm doing that ever.
I already hate myself. Like, I am a miserable cow about so many things.
Sure.
I cannot even, and then of course, like, I'm the yoga teacher. I'm giving up gluten and white sugar. Like, I'm already a stereotype. But yeah, no, I feel like if I did CrossFit on top of that, I would be completely, totally insufferable. Like, I already yeah. want to punch myself in the face. If I were one of those people that was like, well, you know, like, at the box, this is what we do at the box.
Sure. Yeah. No, I believe. Well, there's something about the CrossFit experience where I've dated a lot of school teachers here in DC, and
okay.
they're-
Okay. That's weirdly specific, but okay.
It is. The point is, they have.
Sorry.
They have no. I know.
I don't know why it's so funny. Where... but it is funny. You're like, well, I've dated half the faculty at O.N.J. Roberts Middle School. And...
No, there's just a. There's a ton of those, like, Teach for America.
Oh,
people
oh.
from Utah who were like, oh my God, black people, I want to see you.
Listen,
so, the point.
He's got a problem.
The point is, I dated a lot of school teachers, and I'm amazed that in their post-school hours, they have nothing to discuss. It's almost like teaching becomes their only personality trait.
Yes!
And again, I get that they're engrossed in it and that it's a big part of their life, but it's really interesting to me when someone gets a hobby and then suddenly they know nothing else about the world.
Yes.
They're just like, how does this relate to this thing I'm obsessed about?
Yes. CrossFit is that. Yoga
CrossFit's
can be...
Kind of,
hi, yoga. I said yoga. Yoga
hello.
Can be that, too.
Yoga can be that, too.
No,
so,
you're right. It's like their interests take place of their personality.
Yeah, yeah. And it's sort of like... And if I don't want to say if you're a weak-minded person, but if you're a person that didn't have a lot of substance before, it's like, this is my calling. I now know why I exist.
Right. But I think that starts in high school. Like, did you ever do that thing in high school? Because full disclosure, I still have my old, like, journals from high school. No,
okay.
They're going to be burned at some point.
Sure.
But did you ever do that thing where you're like, my favorite color is, my favorite music is, I want to be this. And you, like, are like, defined by that stuff. Like, I think, too.
I could see that.
Right, like, and I think, too, a lot about, like, have you ever talked to somebody about what their favorite music is? And a lot of times they'll say something from when they were in high school. Like, my uncle still listens to music that was really hot in, like, the end of the 80s.
Like, Chris Rock says you'll always be obsessed with the music that you first got laid to.
Well, I mean, that's a great way to say it. And so I think that, like, high school is kind of this, like, intense, like, time. I'm about to go, like, deal with a bunch of high school sophomores, and high school is intense. I mean, I remember it's intense, and you don't understand that the rest of your life is not that intense. Like,
sure.
Like, that it kind of, like, you know, levels off.
That's true.
But some people don't outgrow that, where their interests are who they are as a person. I mean, I think about, like, there are things that are important about who I am, but, like, I can let go of a lot of it. I think the mom one is hard. I think the parenting part is so engrossing. It's like being on fire constantly.
Mm-hmm.
but so I do get it and I empathize, but I know what you're saying. Like, there are people who are, they think that some of their interests are like who they are. Like, I'm a crafter or I'm a this. Yeah,
it's very, very hard to say. So, in this whole CrossFit experience, I went because a friend was teasing me, not because I have any desire to do it. And when we talk about body standards, I have achieved the body standard that is comfortable for me, which means when I go to a beach or if I go to an event where I'm not wearing a lot of clothes, I'm
which is not something I've ever said. Like, no one invites me to those kinds of events.
apparently that's a part of my life. I'm only competing with myself. Or I'm trying to. Now, I may look at other people and go like, God, I wish I had pecs like that.
Right.
But at the end of the day, like, I'm doing me. So I've come to learn that if you aren't meant to have it, you can't fake it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going through that CrossFit experience. I'm thinking to myself, do I want it that bad? Because I don't know that I want it that bad.
That's what I was about to say, is I think, like, you're right. I think that there's, like, this line in the sand where and it changes, right? Like, it changes. Mm-hmm. Like, look at me. I'm freaking, like, eating vegetables and drinking smoothies and, like, giving up gluten and sugar, which are things I never thought I would do. I would, if you had told me 3 years ago that I was going to quit drinking, I would have looked at you like you told me I was going to grow another head. So, and so that line changes, but everybody kind of has this, like, cost benefit analysis constantly going on in their head, you know, like, cause for some people, CrossFit is worth it. And that's not to say that, like, they'll say, like, well, CrossFit is fun. I don't know that they mean that, or it gets easier. I don't know that they mean that. They just maybe have results that are benefits that are worth the costs. And you just, you know, it just depends on where you are on that process.
Sure. And there are a lot of people who need, when they're working out, there are a lot of people who need actually, like, a governor. They need somebody who's going to be over their shoulder yelling and making sure that they do it. And okay, I'm going to do this thing for 45 minutes and then it's going to suck and it's going to be over, but I did it. And
right.
So it's not my place to ever say, like, what's the best format for someone else?
Well, right. You got to know yourself and what works for you.
And so again, in closing, You can't fake it. Like, I don't care if it's an app that's going to draw on abs for you or slide in your hips. At the end of the day, like, that's just top layer. Like, you are who you are.
Right. Like, at some point, at some point, these people are going to want to meet you in real life. And then there's anxiety of, like, I don't know, how are you going to fake that you, like, well, that was, like, a year ago. When I had abs. Like, I don't know, you know? To me, it's all about being real. And if you're looking for something real, you have to be real.
That is the complete and honest truth. Ooh. Well, everybody, we're going to be back in just a moment with this week's Here For It and Q and Hey. We'll be right back.
Harmonizing with you in all places. I'm recording.
Okay.
We're back. I don't know why Ruby. I'm singing. I'm singing like all of these things.
Ruby, what are you here for this week?
So friend of the podcast, Sarah, got in touch with us over Twitter and was saying that we should totally check out this podcast called Revisionist History. It's a podcast by Malcolm Gladwell, who you might know from a book called The Tipping Point. And what he does, it's a half an hour, and he basically blows your goddamn mind for the whole half an hour, which is not something we, like, it's hard to do, speaking as somebody who has a podcast, to blow your mind every minute of a podcast. And what he does is he kind of takes things that have happened in history, and he teases them out and says what really happened. And the episode that I've listened to, and I've only listened to one episode, but it's now my new favorite thing, is an episode that just discovers and explores what actually went down with Brown v. Board of Education. And I'm not going to give anything away because I don't want to give away the feelings that I've was having and the emotional journey that this entire podcast took me on. But I am all about more people listening to this podcast, mostly because I think it's amazing how many things we're taught in school from a perspective that oversimplifies things, which makes sense that things are oversimplified because your brain in third or fourth or fifth grade maybe can't handle like what actually happened. And mm-hmm. I think you're trying to protect students or protect people, but there's this oversimplification of history that has ramifications on the way people see the world once they grow up. And so, it's kind of a conversation and it's interesting and it's, a quick half an hour. It teaches you a lot about things. And I think it helps you explore some of the biases that you have based on the things you were taught as students and based on the way that power, like, I think the bottom line for me is that power dictates the way history is, taught, and what people remember are from the perspectives of the powerful people. And that gives you another insight into how privilege affects things. And it's kind of like this butterfly effect, like something small, really what actually happened in the moment, the butterfly flapped its wings, but, 50, 60 years down the line, 100 years down the line, a kid in, you know, a rural Pennsylvania is learning about this thing in a different way. And it's like, changes the way that they look at the world. So I know that sounds crazy, but you guys should check out Revisionist History, Malcolm Gladwell. It's in the iTunes store. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I am a big fan of his books like Outliers, and I listened to a few of the Revisionist History podcasts. They're pretty dope.
Yeah, they're awesome. So what are you here for? I need to know. Drop it on me.
Well, this week, I'm here for tennis star Andy Murray.
I loved this. Loved this. Awesome.
So Andy Murray has been a longtime supporter of sexual equality, and he lost at Wimbledon, but his post-match interview was definitely a win for women. He was asked during the post-match press conference a question, and he really made an effort to correct the reporter.
Yeah, wasn't it something about, because there hasn't been an American man in, like, the top something and whatever, and they said sure. Something like, isn't it the first time that an American has made it to the finals?
It's my here for it.
I'm sorry. I was trying to be
okay.
Funny.
Thank you. No, I'm good.
Be quiet, Ruby.
Thanks, Ruby. Quiet, Ruby. So he was asked a question, and the questioner asked, this was about the person who defeated him. He goes, Andy, Sam is the first American player to reach the semifinals of a slam since 2009. And Andy Murray quickly replied, male player. And the questioner says, excuse me? And Andy again says, male player. And what was so distinct about this moment was he didn't laugh it off. He remained stern. And he made a point to let them know that while men haven't won in this category, women have countless times. The Williams sisters alone, Venus has won 5 times and Serena has won 7 of the last 15 years. So it wasn't that it was an honest mistake. It was just this, it's a part of the structural problem that these, especially when it comes to the Williams sisters, these reporters and the journalists that are associated with tennis are very dismissive of the success of the Williams sisters. I just thought that he did it in such a real a way of class, to know that you don't have to take credit for something if you know that a woman's done it first. And That's why Andy is my here for it this week.
My favorite part is how cranky he was about the whole thing. And, like, I don't know if you saw his mom on Twitter. His mom wrote, did the quote tweet thing where you retweet it, and on top of it wrote, "That's my boy." And I was like, amazing.
Yeah, she definitely raised some good boys. I'm not a big tennis fan, but one of my family members is, and I sent the article to him, and he just was like, "Did you know Andy did this and he did that?" And apparently this is something that's gone on for a long time, so much so that the Williams sisters sent a message saying that how much they appreciate him and how he's always looked out for them. So I thought that was really sweet.
Amazing. I love that. So great. Well, we'll be back with our Q&A.
Hey! And we're back. Ruby, you've got our Q&A for the week. What's going on?
All right, here we go. Let's go on an emotional journey. Dear Cody and Ruby, how do I politely tell people to stop bugging my girlfriend and me about getting married? We live in a small suburban city where all of the ladies are preoccupied by the size of their rings and the achievements of their kids. We are both amazed at the mad rush by everyone between 18 and 35 to get married and have kids. The idea of getting to that point repulses us. We are both college-educated immigrants from humble backgrounds, working as professionals in our respective fields. We don't care to raise a child in this environment, and my girlfriend does not wish to work after giving birth, which would reduce our income by half. If it happens, so be it, but we have no plans to have kids. People keep bugging us. When are you getting married? Aren't you planning to have kids? Etc. A simple, "we're not ready yet," or "when the time is right," does not seem to suffice. They typically try to dig deeper and have even suggested that we are not committed to each other. The way I see it, a wedding is a public announcement of a private commitment. Therefore, I don't see the necessity for the big party, especially since we'd end up paying the bill for this gala. Just so everyone could see that we are committed to each other. Please advise me how to politely tell people, mind your own damn business, because this is how I truly feel. Signed, frustrated by nosiness.
Yeah, it's so funny that people feel I don't want to say a sense of ownership, but there's certain questions I just wouldn't pose to people, like, when are you having babies? And you know from, like, your situation, like, what if you're somebody who is maybe, it's all consuming to you.
Right.
But you don't want to just tell random strangers, like, hey, I might have some issues with fertility.
There's no casual way to be like, I'm having a miscarriage right now. Like, you know? Like, right.
And there are just some people that don't have any sort of boundaries.
Yes.
Like, for instance, with a wedding, like, sometimes the barrier for weddings for people are financial.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And instead of saying like, hey, I can't afford this $40,000 endeavor, I'd love to be married, but we haven't figured out how to work into our budget. People need to mind their business.
Right. I read somewhere that like the average American wedding right now costs $40,000. It was like 35 to $40,000. That's a freaking down payment on a freaking house. Like, it's kind of interesting the cultural expectations that people put on you. Yeah, I'm really sorry.
Or not only the cultural expectations, sorry to interrupt you, but also the thought that you are into the same things that they are.
Yes.
Be it religion, be it ethics, whatever. People just, they get into like this habit of like, you can even run into it like casual racism, like somebody just kind of saying something and just be like, right?
Oh,
am I right?
Yeah, no, listen, let's explore that for a minute. So something happened to me recently where I was in a meeting with a friend, like helping them with their marketing and stuff. And at the end of this meeting, and this person has known me for like a year, at the end of this meeting, this person said to me, "One of these days, I really want to have a conversation with you about Jesus." And I wanted to be like, okay, like, hold on. Like, was such, to me, there are so many levels that offends me on. First, the number one of them being, I went to Catholic school from the time I was in kindergarten until I graduated from high school. Like, I'm down with Jesus. Like, I've read the Bible. I was a CCD teacher and an altar girl. Like, I know. This right. isn't like the assumption is that I'm somehow ignorant of like religion just because I'm not practicing it now currently, or that I'm not giving it to my kid or my family. But like, yeah, no, people like come at you with some crazy stuff, and it's hard.
And sadly, you almost have to be really blunt and mean and enforcing the boundary afterwards, because let's say, I worked with someone, once who was Mormon and invited me and another minority colleague, to a Mormon event, like to try to, get us
a Mormon event. Do you mean was it a showing of the Book of Mormon?
They definitely did not invite us to that. But it was a situation where it was like, okay, now you're my colleague, you're my coworker. It's like separation of church and state.
Yeah.
I don't want to be talking to you about religion. I just want to do my job and I want to go home.
Right.
And I don't want to downplay the role or importance of religion in your life. In fact, I just don't want to be having this conversation at all.
Right.
And that's the boundary that people who don't respect other people's lifestyles put you in. It's like, do you even have that kind of relationship with somebody to be like, I want to talk to you about Jesus?
Yeah, no, like, no, dog.
No, you need to go talk to your friends and your family about Jesus.
Right.
I'm your colleague.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm not, yeah, exactly. No, I think it's hard, and you're right. I don't think that there's like this, like, there's not a nice way to say no. And that's, this is a whole nother conversation, but no is a complete sentence. Someone tweeted the other day, I want to say it was Cheska Ray from YouTube. She's a YouTube MTV commentator. She said, when I say no, it's not an invitation to convince me. Like, I don't mean convince me. I mean no. And in our culture, no is not taken as a complete sentence. And especially if you're somebody in the power dynamics where you're expected to go along with whomever is like the more powerful person in the dynamic. Like, when I say no as a woman, I don't mean to a man convince me. When I say no, like, you know what I mean? Like, nobody.
Yeah.
So if more people need to be taught that no is a complete sentence.
It's true. I agree with that. Well,
good luck,
good
frustrated.
Because you just made me frustrated.
I know.
Oh my
people
God.
Are out here being crazy.
It's on that note, I think it's time for us to go to church, because oddly, we end up going to church a lot on this
we
show.
We do. Let me talk to you about Jesus.
Yeah. Well, send me.
Take me there.
Okay. Well, actually, this week's good word comes from Joyce Meyer's ministry.
Of course. It's always full circle here on this world.
Always full circle.
We do it on purpose, we swear.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm really, you know, okay. I don't want to say anything else about church. But this one did resonate with me, so that's why I'm reading it today.
Well, it says, resonate with us.
Yes. Joyce Meyer says, you can be pitiful or you can be powerful, but you're not going to be both. So take your pick.
Ooh.
It's pretty heavy. There's an accountability in this life that we have to take for ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? Like, are you going to be a perpetual victim, or are you going to be somebody who owns? And it's true. You're in no situation in life will you be able to be both.
I love that. It's like you can't control what happens to you. You can control how you react to it.
Very much
yeah,
so.
Yeah, I love that.
Very much
ooh,
so.
Well, that's amazing. Thank
well,
you.
Well, everybody, I need a bath after we just went to is that how it works?
Holy water, baby. I'll sprinkle you, girl.
I'm gonna burn.
I feel the lightning coming for both of us. Well, we've made it to the end of yet another episode of The Swirl, and congratulations, so have you. You guys know what the deal is. You can follow us at Swirl Podcast on all of those social channels. At Step to the Mic is Cody on Twitter. At Ruby Junkie is Ruby on Twitter. And the party doesn't end.
It just relocates.
Woo-hoo!
Thanks for joining us, everybody. See you next
week. Yeah, take care. Use your sunscreen. Be nice to each other.